and welcome to episode 198 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars, and I'm here with the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the beast from the southeast, it's Tony Esmond.
Oh, we've not used that one before, that's good.
I try to do a different one every week, Tony. It's
very... You do, don't you? I like it, yeah. I do like it.
If I can't think of anything, I just compare you to some sort of food product.
As you go to.
Yeah, secrets out of the bag there.
Well, you know, I mean, people know that I'm hard up for ideas. Anyway,
well, I did mention it. We've been chatting offline for a bit, but I went to had listened to episode 100 the other day.
Really?
Oh, nice one.
What did we do then?
We did like listener questions, and people rang in and left voicemails.
Was that really the voicemail one?
Yeah.
Has it really been 98? Episodes since then.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Since your mastery of the editing.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, I can't remember. It's been so long.
Idea. It's all right. Yeah. Mostly they're taking the piss out of me, quite a few of them.
Yeah.
But they were good. It was a good one. We seemed a little bit calmer. I don't know what's happened to us.
What do you mean?
Let's see.
What are you saying? I'm not stressed. You're stressed. What are you saying?
Your mum. The
easy, right. We may have got almost to 200 episodes, but I am still not having any of that nonsense.
I'll tell you what's full of that, Eltingville. That's full of your mum jokes.
Yes. And thank you, everyone, for the great feedback about last week's episode with the mighty Evan Dorkin. We had a great laugh talking to him. It was,
Really blown away at the interaction on Twitter from the ACP listeners.
Yeah.
I think he appreciate that. Yeah, he was impressed.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, and so, I know that...
He thought that Twitter was a vile hub of scum and villainy.
I mean, it pretty much is, apart from our nice little corner of the world, which is great. And I know some of our listeners weren't necessarily au fait with his work, so... You know, hopefully they will rectify that over the next coming months or whatever, because you really should, because, for instance, the likes of Milk and Cheese and Beasts of Burden and stuff is definitely the sort of stuff that our listeners would love.
We were slightly concerned we'd be all right with asking questions and stuff.
But, I think Vince hadn't watched the video.
Yes.
Since seen it, Vince.
I have not seen this, but I need to watch this.
There's a video where he gets... It looks like it's the end of a day at a convention or something.
Yeah.
We all know what that feels like.
The tables and stuff.
And these guys, they come over to start interviewing. It's like a YouTube thing. And he just fucking destroys them.
It's fucking gold. I was walking around listening to it.
Yeah.
And I burst out laughing a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely savage.
They're just dumbstruck. They don't know where to go with it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not... And he just destroys them. And it's amusing, and he's not being horrible to them.
No.
But you can see they're just ill prepared.
Yeah.
And just before we came online, I said to Vince, "Don't watch it at the moment." Yeah. Because
there's a charisma guy I watch on YouTube that does like breakdowns of interviews between people, and if he did it with that, like that, Evan was just a master at work. Yeah. Every tact they tried to sort of like swing it around, he just swung it another way to have a laugh and not take it seriously.
Did they seem like the sort of people that actually knew his work?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think so.
He was just in that kind of mood.
He just wasn't on the person doing the interview, and the couple of people just weren't really on the ball.
Oh.
And, I almost wondered whether it was like Eltonville meets Evan Dorkin.
Yeah.
But he just like eviscerates them. It's just sort of... It's interesting. I'll have to put the link up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
But it is funny. And now that you've listened to him, you know that's what he's like. You know.
Yeah.
And he was, I have to say, really interactive with us. And we talked to him for ages beforehand, and we talked to him for ages afterwards as well. But very sort of interactive with us. But that just, if you're not prepared for some people, and you should be prepared for them, we should have read, you know, you should read their books if you're going to interview them. And it was just ill-conceived.
No one bit he's talking about, I think he's talking about Mark Miller or someone. He says, oh, he did me a really big favour. He goes, oh, what's that? He goes, oh, he only spat on me the once when I was laid out at DC. That was great.
Yeah. And he did spark a sort of conversation afterwards, talking about, like, Marvel titles and the publishing like that. That was very interesting as well.
So, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
So definitely check him out on Twitter, etc. And thank you for all the good feedback on the episode. We truly appreciate it. And that's what we're...
Yeah, I bought a couple of hard copies of books I previously had digitally only. So I bought
Dork. Nice. I mean, I've got the digital of Milk and Cheese, and that's definitely one I definitely need.
I've only read bits of the Eltingville Club, so I'm going to have to buy that properly.
Yeah, it's good, man. Yeah, really good.
I mean, my favourite of his work is Beast of Burden. That's just that's right up my street.
I'm not familiar with that at all. I've not read any of that, so...
Yeah, there's sort of two different versions of it, aren't there? There's two sort of strands to it. It's worth looking at. Yeah, it's very different from Milk and Cheese now, and Dork and stuff. There's almost like he's got two bits of his... Well, three bits, if you count the animation as well, isn't he? Yeah,
so it's good. And, that was the first one off the list that I was... this little Twitter list that I made. So thank you, Evan, for getting in touch. And that was a brilliant episode. And next week is going to be the next one. But we won't.
Oh, is it? I can't remember who we've got next week.
I can't tell you now.
Okay. Tell us after the show.
Okay. I don't want to spoil it, but it's one that I'm hugely, hugely excited about.
Is it CB?
No.
No.
PH.
Okay.
Did you hear that? PH?
Yeah.
PH. It's basically someone very acidic.
Okay.
That was me bringing the science. Do you know what I mean?
Is it FA?
PH? No, it's FU. That's what you call
is it dynamic.
it's see you next Tuesday.
It's BDSM.
And welcome to Scrabble Corner on the awesome Comic Podcast.
Sexual Scrabble. There's a whole podcast there somewhere. Late Night Channel 4, Sexual Scrabble with the ACP boys.
Oh God. What would be a... No. No, do you know what? I'm not taking that any further because I know what the artistic vision is like for our lovely listeners. So let's not give them any more ammo.
We got that lovely piece, didn't we, sent through, the three of us in the car.
Oh, yeah, I've done that today. Dave Kennedy's a dude.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Yes.
And an art beast.
Dave.
I've been loving seeing all the artwork from listeners and people in the community. Like, Cliff sent over a piece to Sarah today of Hawkman. And there's a few bit we've done that redesign thread in the awesome comic chat.
The awesome verse.
Yeah, we'll see all the stuff pop up. It's great. It really kind of fires me up. I don't know about you guys when I see other people's creative output. Yeah.
Vince sent me some art this week that really fired me up for a secret project we're on.
Yeah.
I just saw it.
When he... Yeah. What was the word you used, Dan?
I can't remember. What did I say?
Was it rough or bleak? I don't know.
Something like that. Yeah.
But that's what you're going for. So.
Yeah. When are you going to announce this project anytime soon?
I'm waiting for the art to come in from one person who I want to make sure is completely on board, even though I paid them.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they're completely on board. And as soon as that now rolls in, as soon as I get the first page of that, then I'll announce.
Yeah. Nice. So it could be episode 200.
It might well be. I mean, I was looking actually to get it published by then, but it's there's a couple. Nobody's late or anything. Just it's a couple of deadlines extended and stuff like that. So,
It's exciting though, folks.
It's pretty dark.
It's very dark, but it's very exciting, folks.
And Vince has done the cover as well, which is very good.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I sent to Pat and Lisa Mills this week, and they gave me some lovely feedback. So it's very good. Very good idea of yours, Mr. Vince.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I don't know how to take nice words about my work. Surely that's something that we all have, though, isn't it? I mean, we've been very fortunate to get some very positive feedback about some of our work. And thank you to anyone who's ever left a nice comment about either the show or our work or given us a pin-up or whatever.
It's weird, isn't it? I find it easier to accept and discuss bad feedback. Like, we got a sort of a fairly nonsensical fucking review this week that made utterly no sense.
Yeah.
And was, I think, written by someone who's slightly, let's say, eccentric.
Yes.
Yeah.
And being generous.
And do you know what? I just went, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had hard to form an opinion on it because it was just such dreck. I don't know what this is.
It's a bit this. That's the subject, isn't it? Is if you're going to write a review of something, apply yourself to the comic.
Yeah.
Don't apply yourself to yourself in and the comic.
You know, like how you get cooking. Like, I don't know if you ever look up cooking recipes on online, and there's
Hang on.
Yeah, this is, rewind.
You like how to make baked beans, and then they tell you like for the first five paragraphs is like their life story and how what baked beans means to them. And it's like, just tell me the fucking recipe.
I just need to break something down, Dan. In the past 5 minutes, I've learned two things about you that I think we really need to explore.
Go for it.
The first one, you watch YouTube videos about people breaking down charisma.
Yeah,
and you do a lot of baking, and you watch a lot of.
I don't do hardly any baking, and I don't really watch a lot of videos.
You only look at the Anarchist Cookbook. That's all you look at, isn't it? Like propaganda.
No, that like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
That was a joke for legal reasons.
Do you like to cook though, Dan?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'm not too bad at it.
Yeah. What's your favorite? What's your best dish?
I can do a really good lasagna. I've got to say.
Oh, bloody hell.
Tell you what, secret ingredient is add a little bit of Worcester sauce. Goes down well.
Oh, I can't have that because it's got fish in it, Worcester sauce.
Whoever made it for you, Tony, I wouldn't put it in there.
Thank you. It's tough. Right. Or meat, obviously, either.
Yeah, or meat. So,
the other intrinsic things in it that it can't have if you're a vegetarian.
Got in it now.
Yeah. Can I have the cheese? Is it vegetarian cheese? No. Oh, I probably just won't have it then.
Yeah. Cheese pasta.
Just macaroni. Have the garlic bread.
Back to the cooking podcast.
Anyway, I'm sure all of Dan's cooking is delicious. And do you know what else is delicious?
Is it Comic House?
It is indeed.
One or two, baby.
Well, we was actually talking. I've been put all my comics and trades into storage.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to be leaning heavily on digital comics for the time being. So yes. What better place?
What a better place than our lovely sponsor, Comic House, who is the indie comic marketplace, with a difference. There's a huge selection of titles on the database. If you've got hard copies of your books and if you're self-published, then list your book on their site. It's free and you can start selling straight away. But they also have an app. And like Dan says, this is going to be a lifeline for people like Dan Butcher,
people who live rough or anything like that as well.
Yeah.
You're just looking at comics from your phone outside of McDonald's whilst you're in a tent.
Yeah. They've got quite a flashy phone then.
Yeah, I suppose everyone's got a smartphone now, haven't they, I suppose.
You can plug them in the street up in London.
And yeah.
Charging ports in the streets. Yeah,
that's cool. Oh,
what a world we live in. Next it'll be like iRobot. Anyway.
I was at the storage units and I said I could see people living in these down the line. And he went, yeah, we've had that. So... in the bleak future of Britain.
Tony, where do you do a poo?
Yeah.
Did I do a poo?
Where do you do a poo? If you can eat one.
I don't know.
Just poo corner. Just make one corner for poo.
Poo it and then lob it into another one.
Yeah, chimp it.
Oh, Dan. What do you pick?
Chimping it where you just poo in your hand, throw it.
Yeah.
Comic House.
Yes, a Comic House. If you read your books digitally. In order to get the focus off Dan Butcher's life, they have an amazing selection of books on their site, and also their own app, which we use, we love. It's like Netflix for comics, subscription service of only £3 a month, and you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics, which are updated every week. But poor old Pete's not very well at the moment, so he hasn't been able to send us the latest
this week,
and greatest. Yeah. So what great stuff have they got on there at the moment, fellas?
We've got Vanguard issue 15, which I uploaded only a week or so ago. Mandy the Monster Hunter. Got Vanitas by Gareth Slightholme, who's put some fantastic pieces of artwork in the ACP 200 raffle. More on that
a bit later. Very generous of him. Yeah, really good.
We've got Superhuman Crime Investigators, The Guys, and Heads by a friend of the show, Rick Jackson.
Yes. Who talked about Heads when he was on the show.
He's also put some artwork into the raffle, I believe.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And me and Vince are also working on our secret project with him.
Oh, brilliant. There we go.
Yes. Mm. More about that at a later date. But all of those brilliant indie comics are on there. And like we said, it's only £3 a month. You can get a free 14-day trial. And also, if you have your comics on Comic House, so any creator, publisher, or seller, they have a profile on Comic House. And yeah, and Pete's trying to get the word out that people can claim their profiles on comichouse.com. So once you've done that, you can add like profile pictures, social media details. So when people look at the comics on the app, all those details will show up, so readers can actually find out more about the creators and find easy links to go and follow them online, etc., wherever you have your work, on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. So yeah, to find out more about that and all the other great stuff on the service, go to comichouse.com and find out about this great app that we talk about every week, which we genuinely, I mean, God bless Pete for supporting us, but we genuinely really love this app. So,
do you know when we started our sponsorship?
When?
Episode 100.
Was it? Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, such.
We announced it on episode 100.
That was when the beautiful, beautiful relationship began.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's good, isn't it?
God bless him.
When Comic House met the ACP, it was Moida.
Oh my God!
I'd be three-way the dog.
Dan, what's happened to you? It's because you couldn't make it for some of last week's show, isn't it?
I've eaten a lot of chocolate today to the point I feel sick.
What? I was worried because I went off for a poo and came back, and you two had gone, and I'm like, "Where's everyone gone?"
Oh yeah, sorry, I had to. Make my excuses and leave. So, I was going to review Pure Dead Mental last week. I'm going to review it this week.
Yes.
That coming up. Stick around.
Spoilers.
Folks. Don't touch that dial.
And this is a week. Yeah. And this
is. Is he on drugs?
I don't know what he's on, but I tell you what, I'm with him. I am with him. I'm just going to see how this plays out, Tony. This is exciting.
Wind him up a bit more.
Yeah. obviously, as you can tell, this week is a Three Amigos show. It's been a while without one of these, and it's come about because we had a few technical issues before. Yeah. We were going to have a guest, and we've had some technical issues. So when we've got around to doing it, we just sort of like, right, let's just talk to each other.
We're a bit stressed.
Yeah, and it's Easter weekend, and we don't want that because Dan's full of eggs, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah.
Is that
egg bound?
You're egg bound. What an image!
That's very brave. I ate a whole Easter egg over the course of several hours.
Now, how big was the egg? Feet. That's not a major feat. If you
thin it, some of them can be quite thin, can't they?
Mm.
I feel as I was getting older, like my tolerance for that kind of stuff has diminished greatly. Whereas, like,
it's not alcohol or drugs, Dan.
Yeah, no, there seems to be all shit like that. I used to be able to kind of put chocolate away, but now I have too much for it. I'm like, oh fuck.
Especially if you have something really creamy. Do you know what I mean?
Gives you nightmares, isn't it?
Yeah. Does chocolate give you nightmares?
Like cheese, isn't it? Same.
Cheese.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Huh. I heard that about cheese. I didn't know.
Do you get nightmares, Vince? Do you ever get any nightmares?
I did have one recently.
Did you? What's it about?
I can't remember it now, but I remember it really, really upsetting me.
Were you in your pyjamas in the school assembly again? Because I know that's one that you've had before.
I think it was one where I realised I had spent a few years of my life doing a podcast every...
living nightmare.
That's not a nightmare. That's a dream.
It's the dream. I am living the dream, and I am loving it.
You had a nightmare where you, or a dream where you have an argument with your other half, and you really fucked off with him, and you wake up in the morning with the same resentment, but they haven't done anything. I had one of them a couple of weeks ago.
I've never had that, but I think
I've been on the receiving end. I've been on the receiving end of that.
She's had that for several years.
Every night is a recurring one.
I've done something wrong. No. All right.
Remember when I was at boarding school, if you got up in the middle of the night to have a wee and came back, they'd have filled your bed with shampoo. That was nice.
Fucking hell. Savages.
Yeah. God.
But that explains why your hair is so luscious, Tony.
It is.
All over.
Yeah, Brother Lawrence was always waiting for me, so I had to run. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Was he the one, the influence for Torquemada?
No, it's Brother Solomon.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Okay.
He was much worse. He'd just kill you. He'd kill you if he saw you. He murdered a lot of people. I found a picture of him, actually, this week. I shall send it to you in a minute.
Excellent. Oh, God. Yeah. If only you lovely listeners could see what happens on our WhatsApp. No, it's probably for the best. It's probably for the best that you don't. It's just going to be us three this week, and we're just shooting the breeze, and probably, you know, it's a little
talking
bit...
about some heinous and villainous there. I'll tell you what, that was good.
That was good, but too early, Dan. You peaked too early.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. But yeah, we're doing going against the old spouses today, haven't we? Or the other halves.
I'm well, not. I am. I'm not back. I'm just sitting back and watching you burn your lives away. Lives. Grow up, Tony. Yeah, so it's just the three of us just to talk about comics, and we do have a little subject that Dan talked about earlier this week, and I thought it's a great topic of like creative conversation we can go into. But I feel like it's probably good that it's just the three of us, because we need to just sort of practice a little bit before episode 200, which is getting ever closer.
Look forward to that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic, and we hope to see a lot of you there. And yeah, we'll tell you more details in the show notes. But Dan, do you want to take it away, my friend?
Sure. Yeah. well, every kind of good story with a strong protagonist, I think the villain is as important, if not more so, because like two sides of a coin, it's got to kind of balance out, and a strong villain can make or break a story. And I think we're going to talk about not only the kind of villains we've made up and how we've come about using them and thinking them up. We've got some villains that have popped up in comics before we're going to discuss as well.
Yeah, I think we haven't really tackled the topic of villains so much, just straight up creating and writing villains and you know, some of the best villains in comics. And Dan's absolutely right. If you don't have a good villain, then your comic, it's not 100%, is it? It's in some ways.
It's kind of like the villain has to kind of represent the adversity and the struggle of what the hero is going up against.
Yeah, and we're not. I mean, I'm personally not saying that if you have a rogues gallery of villains, you know, there's always going to be, like an anthology, some are going to be better than others.
Yeah,
but there's still got to be some pretty strong characters there, haven't there? There's got to be the nice offset against the hero. To start us off, do you find when you read some comics, be they independent comics or maybe some of the bigger two, or you know, European comics or anything like that, you read them and you think a lot of thought has gone into the hero and the hero's journey, but the villains really feel like they're an afterthought and they haven't had as much effort put into them?
Depends, doesn't it? I think people see certain villains as cliches. So you've got the sort of Lex Luthor, or you've got the Joker, the psychopath cliche, haven't you? You know, not that saying those two are cliches, but people do spin cliches off from them. But I think some of them, I'm just looking across at Scout. I've got the Scout trades on the wall, and the villains are probably more interesting in that book than the heroes. Well, in fact, they're all kind of villains in it, but they're almost like more interesting. They're more sort of thought out. More, you know, there's more depth to them.
Do you think that's quite dangerous in a way, though?
Yeah, I think the danger is you fall into the trap of making them relatable.
Yeah,
so do they stop becoming villains? Do they stop becoming villains then at that point when you think, well, there's a motivation there, like, you know, is it Freeze who wants to get his wife back, is it you know, Fisk who's, you know, wants to, you know, there's sort of these motivations between them,
but I feel like if the motivation's sound but the steps they go to get it is where it defines them as the villain.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Where kind of Freeze on another level might spend his time researching into it, he hasn't got the time or patience for that, and he's gonna rob banks and do whatever to get that funding or research so he can sort his wife out.
Yeah
I mean, the villains don't rob banks anymore, do they?
No.
Spider-Man used to stop villains robbing a bank, and that'd be their motivation, would be to get the cash. Now there has to be some sort of something else going on. I think there's a real grey line. It's been going on for donkey's years, isn't it? And you could easily say it's been going on since Dark Knight and since everything became grim and gritty, but I think it probably since before that is where a lot of villains became the heroes in comics. I mean, a lot of comics series now are based on villains, aren't they? So I wrote a little list down. So you've got Bullseye. He's had his own series.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn probably seems to be one of the most popular villains at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanos, he's got another series. He seems to have a sort of a series of ongoings, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Deadpool is kind of a villain.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
He was introduced as a villain.
Yeah. Yeah. Venom.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest villain of them all is Lucifer.
Yeah.
He's got another ongoing. Grendel. I mean, essentially, Grendel is a hit woman sometimes. Mystique.
Yeah.
Deadshot. Deathstroke. I mean, the one that always I can never fucking figure out, and I think his motivation has taken over making him good or bad, is Magneto. So you've got Magneto is motivated because he wants to free the people he considers to be his people, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
But there's some, this especially, you know, the earlier issues, it's like full on villain.
Yeah,
yeah. You know.
So I feel like Magneto should be played for, like, he genuinely thinks that his race are kind of put down upon and believes them to be serious. I've lost my train of thought, but basically he will do anything to fucking make sure that they survive, including taking anyone else out who threatens them.
Yeah.
I mean, is that essentially wrong? You know, the Earth's being attacked by aliens. Do we destroy the aliens? You know, his race, his species being attacked by, you know... It's a weird one, isn't it? There's a lot of grey levels now.
Because you have the grey lines, because if you look at it like this, like in that sort of way, the Punisher is a villain. Because he has a certain thing, but it's his methods that create the biggest sort of, they, you know, that make him a vigilante. But in a lot, that's
the
why...
The extreme he goes to, doesn't he? So he's essentially a Batman who kills, isn't he,
I mean, when handled right, the Punisher's like, it's a figure, a sort of character you read about, and although you kind of like side with him, if you kind of take a step back and see what he's doing, it's absolutely horrific.
I'm going to
talk about a Punisher comic later in the recommends.
Yeah. Okay.
But bringing up that list though, Tony, I mean, I have a real problem with modern day villains on the bigger scene. Certainly with the bigger publishers, because it's not that I have any moral, you know, thoughts about it, but it just feels like this villain is popular, let's give them their own series, and in some ways to make them an anti-hero, you know. Yeah. Anti-heroes are the in thing, and they have been for the past 15 years.
More so, mate. I'd put that back to Watchmen myself.
Yeah,
even maybe slightly before that, you know, when you think Punisher came out in the 70s.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, but so much so that, you know, these villains in are sort of watered down to the point of, I don't think you can take them back to being a villain again without it being an Elseworld tale. Do you know what I mean?
Like
Harley Quinn has been so forever changed that they're so, like, she's popular. I mean, obviously she's popular. You know, she's a good character, and I understand why people, you know, think she's a great character. But I'd like a great character like to still be a villain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, to still be... Let's hang on.
Hasn't
she killed a lot of people? Do you know what I mean? That sort of thing.
How far do you change that character before it's not that character anymore?
Yeah. Who's remained a villain? You know, there's not that many.
No.
Joker?
Yeah. Joker's one of the only ones. And, you know, you do get series like, obviously, it was White Knight and things like that. But that's more of that's an interesting storytelling sort of thing rather than changing him.
Yeah, I suppose that is true, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, that's an interesting one. I think probably there's quite a few of Batman Rogues galleries. A lot of them, obviously, yes.
Cobblepot became relatable. The Riddler it was a detective for a while.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But then, like, you have ones. I think it sort of muddies the waters when it chucks whatever one of them into the Suicide Squad or whatever is popular that week.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
but you know, for instance, characters like Clayface, has he been
Ultron?
Yeah, he's it. Yeah, that's a good villain. That's just villainous. That's a good one. That.
You think it with the more established characters that have been going on longer, it's more they don't know what else to kind of do with them, and they think this is a fresh thing I can do. And
I think a lot of writers think they're running out of ideas, and they say, let's write this from the villain's point of view.
Yeah,
and from that moment you think, right, they're now making that they're making a familiar character more of a sort of, do you know what I mean? I start to,
yeah.
Right, but they're making them relatable too. They're making us more inside their heads. While, you know, before, you know, if somebody wrote a story from the viewpoint of Doomsday, suddenly we'd all think, oh, okay, yeah, well, maybe he is, you know. I remember seeing a thread on a message board years ago saying, oh, Galactus isn't the villain because that's what his body, you know, that's what his race, he has to do it, you know, he's forced into doing it. I thought, you know, he's still eating planets and killing lots of people, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of, it's a bit that touchy-feely stuff taken to an extreme, but the point where you just don't do anything because... Otherwise, you'd be in if it were like, oh, the fire's burning my head. That's what fire does, though. So,
I do like it when like companies stick to their guns or publishers stick to their guns with whatever the villain is. I mean, even so much so, like, you remember when they did the Dark Avengers? Do you remember them? And for instance, Bullseye was wearing the Hawkeye costume, I think, but he was still Bullseye. And
Diodato killed him in that series as well. I quite enjoyed that series.
I'm not always a fan of Diodato, but he was really good on that series.
He was, yeah.
I thought the Dark Avengers was a good way of doing, like, really horrible people in these positions.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I did enjoy that series. I really did. I'll tell you the classic one that flip flops is Dracula.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
He's almost a little bit of a hero, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know?
And for me, Loki. You know, I just like him as a villain. Loki's so much now, you know, the public has taken him on so much that I think he's never fully villain again. Long gone is the days where Loki will be the big baddie for the Avengers.
Yeah.
They won't. He'll be the guy that no one trusts. But at the end of the day, he's not all bad.
But you get the trouble once you start doing this. Now you've got to come up with new villains.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a problem of coming up with a new Batman villain, new Spider-Man villain. I mean, loads of villains get introduced for these guys, but like, how often do they stay around? Mm.
Yeah, when a new villain comes along, some people sort of say, well, they're a bit one-dimensional, you know, they're just, you know, cackling bad guys. But surely that's what all of these characters were normally when they first arrived.
You can't sort of like pit like one character's first appearance against 30, 40 years of the Joker and how well fleshed out it's been. But people seem to make that, I'd say, error.
Yeah. I would say with a long-running series, something like Batman or Spider-Man or something like that, you've got a certain writer takes possession of a new villain. So you've got like the Court of Owls, haven't you, with Snyder. And I think people don't want to use that because it's kind of his.
Yeah.
I know they've reappeared and all that sort of thing, but I think it's kind of that's his, so they moved on. A bit like, I suppose, there was like that Ra's al Ghul thing because Neil Adams sort of put his stamp on him. You know,
and it's probably bloody intimidating, isn't it? To sort of,
yeah, it is, exactly. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put Court of Owls in a series when Snyder's the only one who's done it probably so far.
I'm not sure if I ever want to see another fucking secret society in Gotham. I mean, how many fucking secret societies they got?
Yeah.
I mean, and even Doc Ock, who was like the classic Spider-Man, but I mean, he added that relatable side. But even since Superior Spider-Man, you've got that thing going on,
which was a surprisingly great series.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, really good. Yeah, yeah.
But like you say, that muddied the waters of, you know, Doc Ock. So
it's been like with the kind of the Joker and Harlequin stuff. Like, I don't like what's happened to those characters, and people kind of like often say, "Oh, me and my girlfriend, boyfriend are like Joker and Harlequin, a bit kind of crazy." It's like, well, they're supposed to be killers that you wouldn't want to be in the same room with.
I mean, Joker is that character who pretty much can't be beaten by anyone. Yeah. You know, if you put I don't know, a B-list DC hero against him, you'd be surprised if he'd win, because he's the character that, you know, Batman can't quite often beat, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And he's one of the only really true unpredictable characters in comics.
Yeah, and he's been well written by numerous writers as well, I think.
Yeah.
And don't forget, he had his own series. He owns only briefly, but in the 70s he had his own series. Oh, Red Skull as well, I'm going to say. Red Skull isn't overly used these days. You know,
Because of the nature of Red Skull, there's not really, let's show the other side of this guy.
because it's tough as well, because like
people are scared of showing the other side of this Nazi.
In the 80s, they were fine with that, but now, like, modern sensibilities, they don't want to touch that, do they?
But I think in some ways they... I mean, obviously, I'm not saying do this with Red Skull, but, you know, similar sort of characters are explored more, like, for instance, Hare Star in Preacher.
Yeah.
A vile human being in every way, shape and form. But you love reading the character because he's such a vile human being. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. What villain do you like reading about the most? Mainstream.
Oh, that's a good question.
I can't look at my bookcase now. They're all gone.
I mean, some of my favourite characters are villains, but I don't read about them very much, and that's the Wrecking Crew. But I'm going to skip over that.
Yeah, but when they appear, you like them appearing,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I think people should do more with them. I think you can do tons more with them.
Yeah, they're the kind of people I would expect him to be robbing banks.
Yeah,
because that's the way they think they can get money.
Yeah,
they're just thick villains with powers.
Yeah, thick. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I kind of like that.
But with the combined power of Thor, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a bit of a fan of it's a bit of a weird one, but I'm a fan of Grodd. I just really like this sort of hugely intelligent sort of psychic group, but it's like brutal as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, he'll eat you. You know, it's like that sort of. Yeah. I sadly still watch Flash and Arrow, and I actually quite like the appearance of Grodd in Flash. It had a real impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a real sort of sense of, is the Flash going to survive this? And stuff like the Trial of the Flash and the Carmine Infantino stuff where Grodd would appear, I really like seeing him in that. It's just strange, isn't it? It's just a weird thing that's kind of comics, you know?
One of the characters, and I haven't read him recently, but the ones that, and I know they've tried to heroize him in some ways, but I used to be a huge fan of Sabretooth.
Sabretooth from the Magneto.
I mean, it was interesting when they first did it. Was it the Phalanx Covenant, you know, when they first put him in the X-Men, when he had like the
when he joined the team, you mean?
Yeah, the Hannibal Lecter mask. That was interesting, but then, I don't know, it sort of watered down a bit, I think.
He was great in Power Man and Iron Fist, and those couple of appearances. They're really great issues.
Yeah. I think a lot of mine, I'm totally going to have to go for the X-Men universe, because that was, you know, obviously that was my gateway drug to becoming like an uber fan. And I think, apart from Spider-Man, I think the X-Men has the best rogues gallery of villains, in my opinion.
Okay, better than Batman?
For a team.
Right, okay,
Because I think if you're talking about like a single hero, for Marvel, it's got to be Spider-Man, and for DC, it's got to be Batman. I think those two rogues galleries there are fairly unmatched across the board.
I'll agree.
Flash has got a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really like the Batman rogues gallery, but I actually like the Flash rogue gallery more. I think Batman's got a better one, but I kind of like the weirdness of the Flash.
Yeah.
He's got a character called The Top.
Yeah.
You know, fucking hell, he just spins round.
Yeah.
You know.
There were super weird ones, and I remember it was an old... But when you see them, some of them look a bit silly, don't they? Who's the Frost guy?
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold, which the name itself is fairly ridiculous, but you go with it because we love comics. But I remember seeing... You know, looking at him visually, I can't say I was that interested, but I was looking through a Wizard, I remember, back in the day, and they said he was a great example of a villain because of the thing, you know, when they've pushed it. And they talked about a scene where there was a security guard trying to stop him to get out of a bank, I think, and he froze the guy's jaw and then punched him.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's now I'm interested. Do you know what I mean? That's obviously horrible, but... That elevates a character that goes beyond what the visuals are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it is deeds, isn't it? With villains, it's what they do. Because so many villains talk a good game, but they can't back it up.
Yeah. I think as well as don't overuse characters. I think sometimes I get a bit sick of them when I'm kind of sick of Bane. I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm not really interested in seeing that character.
I'm at saturation point with Thanos.
Yeah.
You know. My interest is only held because of the movie with him, really.
True. I didn't really think much of him until after seeing the film, because I didn't really know much apart from Infinity Gauntlet. I was kind of...
Yeah,
I think the Infinity Gauntlet was the start of it for me, of him being overused. When you had the sort of Marvel 2-in-1, Marvel Team-Up, Avengers stuff with him in, you know, the Jim Starlin stuff, Warlock stuff, I was kind of like, he was this real nasty fucking creature that would turn up every so often. But then with the Infinity Gauntlet, there was like a series of Infinity miniseries, and then we had him in his own series, and I think they just overused him then. And then you literally had a comic series about him growing up, and I'm like, nah, enough.
What sort of characters, villains, have you never really been fussed about? You know,
interesting.
For me, it's got to be, and this is just personal taste, of course. Some people will go, oh no, these characters are amazing. So remember, folks, these are just our opinions. For me, Superman's villains have never really done anything for me. You know, beyond Lex Luthor, I can't really think of
Vartox.
Many. People will obviously say Brainiac.
Mr. Mitzelplick, or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. I used to hate him. I still do.
I used to be a bit frightened by him when I was a kid. I think, oh, fucking, what's he going to do now?
Like,
I think he's going to turn up and go, get in the back of the van.
The Toy Master.
Yeah, he was a bit of shit, wasn't he? Yeah.
He does like toys. It's kind of like, what's this a threat to Superman in any way?
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna have to write villains like very powerful to match Superman, because the whole thing about writing villains, isn't it? Like, they gotta be it's better to write them like having an edge over the hero, be it like they're more clever or more powerful or they've got some kind of edge. Otherwise,
that's where Lex Luthor worked for me because he outthought him.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. In the same way that the Joker could never win in a fist fight with Batman, but he's got everything going on in the background, isn't he? You know, he's got a triple plan behind him somewhere. Yeah.
And Batman can't really kind of get an edge on him because he's kind of a bit out there and he doesn't quite understand what he's going to plan next or what kind of fail safes he's going to put in should Batman turn up and give him some shit.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, what about British comics? What about villains in British comics? I mean, when 2000 AD, they're kind of all fucking villains, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, the old Nemesis Torquemada, which is like, which one is
which sides of a coin. And
that's
the
great writing in that.
Obviously, you've got the Dark Judges.
Yeah, they're classic characters. Standouts. I'd say they're probably standout villains.
Yeah. And they didn't. What year did they turn up? They didn't turn up for a while, did they?
Yeah, a good few years into the run. But, I mean, Dredd's a villain, essentially.
He is.
Yeah. He is essentially the Punisher with a badge.
Yeah, he's like a fascist lawman, isn't he? Obviously, you got Rico. There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you got all the stuff going on in ABC Warriors and Roadbusters. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Roadbusters, for me, the big industry and big companies and stuff like that, that's the villains in those books, mm-hmm. you know, is the governments that, you know, that are, you know... And then you've kind of got martial law if you want to join in to that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're all fucking villains again in that book, aren't they? You know, everyone's a villain in that.
I mean, I'm trying to think, did Strontium Dog have any recurring villains?
He had a few. Yeah.
I can remember most of them, they end up dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's essentially a bounty hunter, isn't he? I suppose. Yeah. But there's been a few recurring ones. Yeah. Because I wonder whether we'll get any more Rogue Trooper. I don't know what the score is around that because with Carlos going, you know, losing Carlos, I don't know. Mm. What the score will be now. It's a strange one, isn't it? Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if any cinematic happenings appear, you know, touch wood, who knows? You never know with films these days.
Yeah, but, well, they've got this studio now of their own, haven't they? So
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
From what we last saw, that was all kind of chugging ahead. They were doing preliminary.
So I think we'll definitely see some fresh stuff in the future, but at least based around that or whatever.
They announced the Mega City 1 series at the 40th, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's a few years ago now.
I mean, I think all depends on your favourite character, isn't it, when it comes to the villains? Because, you know, for all those people who love the Dread series, for those people who love the X-Men, for those people who love Superman, I think one of the reasons that you love these series and these characters are the villains. You know,
they've got to be the motivating factor.
Whereas we might say, well, you know, they're not that great. You might sort of say, oh, they're fantastic. I love this character. So,
I mean, do we like comic series that don't have that mixture? I mean, if you take sort of slice of life out of it, do we like comic series that don't delineate like that? You know, I mean, I'm going to say something like Cerebus. There's no real, they're the good people, they're the bad people things going on in that book.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. There's a lot of tales like that kind of.
Yeah.
There's no harsh line between the two.
Yeah. It depends what you want from your comics, really, doesn't it?
I mean, what you want from your comics at that point in the day, sometimes.
Mm.
You know, I think there's a big thing to be said from that. Sometimes I'm in the mood for something. Sometimes in the mood for something else. You know.
Yeah. I mean, you go into, you know, reading something like Bone. It's very different to when you go into read something like Preacher or The Boys. Do you know what I mean?
Or From Hell or something like that. Yeah.
And I think a lot has to be said, probably with my sort of love of villains, with a lot of the stuff that I was privy to when I was a kid, which was, you know, a lot of the animated shows or the toys. And a lot of these, because it was the nature of, look, we're selling these to kids, good versus evil, you've got your clear hero, you've got your clear villain. Mm. So, you know, you've got your Masters of the Universe, and probably the more... clearly and more developed one is Transformers, that Transformers universe, which has obviously been developed and pushed. I mean, that is very much a good and bad. I haven't read Transformers comics for quite some time, so that, and I know that
that's a real hole for me. I've never read Transformers comics. I think
I think they've been doing really good work. Is it IDW that's doing them at the moment?
I think so.
But that's a definite, but like you say, that's the, you've got a clear goodie and you've got a clear villain. You know,
but if you get like the back in the day when it was like, I want to take over the world for reasons, you don't seem to get so many of those villains anymore.
People seem to think they've got to write this sort of super complicated backstory to a villain the other day, and which is where I'll come back to, like, just fucking rob a bank.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Sell some drugs.
All of them have to be like, I'm doing this because of X personal reasons.
Some cosmic fucking event has happened.
I mean, bringing this into like the small press and indie scene, for instance, and the way that we do villains, obviously in the Red Mask from Mars, there is a big villain in it. He may not be the one that you initially think from reading the first couple of issues, but this villain is very much, and because of this, he's super fun to write. He's just a bastard. Do you know what I mean? He's clearly here for a certain purpose. There's no, I have this problem that I have to deal with, blah, blah. You know, it's someone that's so arrogant and, you know, basically an alien monarch that thinks that they can do whatever they want, which, to be honest, is fairly relatable when you look at today's society, and so many people are like that anyway. But for me, it's just, let's go over the top with just a villain. And it's so much fun to write an over-the-top villain who, you know, you can be really verbose with their dialogue, because as soon as you read like one thought bubble, the reader will immediately think, I know exactly what this person's all about. They're a prick.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we need, it's a medium, isn't it? So we need all different strokes, don't we?
Yeah.
I think we need that, and we need the ones that, I was thinking about Desert Star when we were talking about this earlier. I was thinking, by the end of that, you realise the hero is the villain.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself about Desert Star. Like,
yeah,
it's a great character arc through that.
Yeah, he has this realisation that it's all because of him at one point. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but do you think
such a clever twist?
But do you think that works better because that's an original piece of fiction? That's a new character,
like a one-off thing.
It
wouldn't work in an ongoing, would it?
Yeah,
really.
No. For instance, if someone tried to do that with an existing character within a bigger universe,
that'd wind me up. Yeah, that's where my fanboy rage comes in. They go, oh, by the way, he's a villain. And you're like, I've been reading about this character for 45 years.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's times when you can fuck around with things like that and pre-establish characters. I don't think that's the place to tell those kind of stories.
Depends on how it's done. So the Captain America is a member of Hydra thing was well done, in my opinion. Mm. And that works.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get a bit bored of it, like, oh, yeah, Spider-Man's gone rogue. You know what I mean? It's like, with the Captain America thing, it was well done. But I think sometimes when it's, you know, just this is the permanence of it, and you think, well, this ain't going to last for long, and it's just lazy writing. But, you know.
It was good when back to, like, issue 280 or something, when Cap, like, jacked in being Captain America, and he was just the captain. That was a great story arc.
That was a great arc. Really,
and it was justified why he did what he did. He's like, I ain't fucking doing this anymore.
Well, if you go back about 100 issues from then, you've got the moment where he basically gives up being Captain America and becomes a nomad because of the Nixon. Is it the Nixon government? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think he's kind of
a metaphor for it. Yeah.
He's disillusioned with the government and the way that they're handling things, and he doesn't want to be a representative of that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah,
he sort of comes around, doesn't he? I can't quite remember it now. What his justifications is, but it all makes sense.
Do with like the secret empire or whatever those characters were, that, you know, with this sort of secret organization. And wasn't one of them unmasked to be Nixon at one point? Is that right?
I can't remember that.
So long since
that's
really
the one with the hoods, and they've all got like numbers on their hood.
I need to read this.
Good man. Yeah, it's very quick. It's only 4 or 5 issues, you know, because that's the way they did it back then. I'll tell you another one is Omni-Man. That's another one that sort of worked.
Any of that one?
No, Omni-Man's from. Is it Omni-Man from Invincible?
Is it Omni-Man? I'm thinking of the Justice League Different Earth one. You know.
What's the name of Invincible's dad? Is it Omni-Man? I forget now.
Oh, Omni-Man. Yes, Invincible. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
So you get a realization in there, spoilers, but you get a realization of that one, don't you, as well?
Yeah. There's so many great villains. Like Kirkman, I think, does villains so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he writes, like, he properly goes for the classic comics sort of style as well, doesn't he? It's like classic comics, but obviously this is going to be past 9 o'clock watershed sort of stuff.
There's one character, if it's like Dinosaurus or something, and he's like a real shit. And he sort of gets talking to Invincible, saying, look, if we did X, Y, and Z, we can make things better for everyone, but it would mean killing so many people. And obviously at first, Invincible totally against it. And then he fails to stop him. And the plan that this dinosaur guy says plays out, and it saves loads more people in the process. And he suddenly comes around to his way of thinking. And obviously to the government, that's a real problem.
Mm. And that's a great storytelling point, isn't it? Like, you know, there are those, you know, when these villains are doing horrible things, sometimes the end point might be better. There's a wonderful grey area. If you can make a reader sort of question as
well. Yeah, I think we're talking about, like, in as much as, like, comic book, you can do that stuff in any kind of art form. Rather than say, this is the answer to this question, you explore the question, explore what's at play, and let the reader work it out and take something from it. Like, treat the reader as, like, it's an intellectual thing rather than, like, propaganda saying, this is really bad, this is really good. I mean, you can tell those stories, don't get me wrong, but I find the more interesting ones is where they kind of pull apart an idea.
Yeah, and for me, that was one of the things that, and I'm not going to talk any more about the Avengers movies than this, than what I'm about to say now, but with Infinity War, what I loved is, because it was essentially the Thanos movie, you saw where he was coming from. And you understood it. You're not saying you agree with him, but he had a point in some ways.
And for me, the main villain of the Avengers movie was that bloke from Game of Thrones who couldn't act in it.
Was that the Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
That was fucking...
I didn't like that bit. That was a real shame.
Because people were complaining, like, well, if Thanos had all the Infinity Gems, why couldn't he do X, Y, and Z, make enough food? And it's like, well, the whole point is he's not approaching it like that.
Yeah.
He's kind of got a goal, and even though it's all fucked up and wrong, that's what he's gunning for.
Yeah. Much like in the way that we said earlier, Magneto has a goal. It's all right.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, interesting, because the villains you're writing in Cockney Kung Fu, Tony.
Yeah.
They're kind of all kind of... characters who've got motivations, and they're horrible characters.
They're despicable.
They're
human
really
beings.
Horrible.
I mean, they're kind of based on real people, though. You know, so there's no hiding the fact that there's a Kree element to them, isn't there? The two brothers.
Yeah.
You know, just apart from the fact that I thought that Henry and Thingy Cooper looked, you know, had the same last name, so I made them the Krays, essentially. You know.
Yeah.
But Henry and Tommy Cooper, as a kid, I thought, are they brothers, Dad?
I thought that too.
Yeah. So I thought I'd make them brothers, and that they're a kind of Kray-esque characters. And so they're the point of the characters in Cockney Kung Fu are they're character-esque. You know, there's caricature elements to them all, you know. And that's kind of the point. And then I extrapolate beyond that a little bit, you know. But that's kind of, you know, I think there's a lady who reviewed our comic this week, isn't there? And she said it's like a carry on craze or carry on something. That's kind of a lot of it. Yeah, definitely. You know.
But your villains definitely live beyond the pages. Like,
right. I think so.
Yeah, I feel like they have a life outside the pages, which obviously a great thing to kind of.
Yeah, I like to think a little bit about them, because I've done some stories about some of them, you know. So some short stories. So,
yeah, like reading some of the stories and then you see them in the comics and stuff. It brings a real another little dimension to it. I really like it.
Yeah.
I mean, how far do you guys go? Do you know about them? Do you know about your villains more than is on the page? Do you know what I mean? I would think you probably do, don't you?
Yeah, I guess you kind of got to understand the motivations behind what they're doing and understand them a bit.
Do you ever write that down? Or it's different because you write and draw, but do you ever write it down and think that there's a little sort of Bible, that's what he's about, you know?
I've yet to do a Bible for the Red Mask, which at some point I probably should.
Yeah.
And it's certainly the characters develop, you know, I think they're a bit more black and white when they're first created. And then the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm developing it, the more there is layers to it. Even if it is a very much sort of like a sort of mwahaha sort of villain, there's got to be more to it than just that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fun to write.
Mm.
And also, you've got to think about where they came from before the reader has seen them. I think that's important, you know.
Yeah, keeps the line of them being the same throughout. Helpful, it helps to that as well, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah. You know, and I just get to write an obnoxious character. I think that's something that everyone can relate to. They've all met someone obnoxious. Mm. But not you, Tony. I love you. You know that.
Thank you.
But that's in that series. Whereas, for instance, in Murder Road, it's a very different kind of character. without any spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah, it's hard to say because I don't want to spoil it, but there's something in there.
Yeah, there's something, and there's more to it, but it's also a slasher villain, which follows those tropes, goes that way, and with a lot of those villains, they're not much more than what you see on the screen or on the page or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's the old element of, like, Jason. Is Jason a villain, or is he the product of the society that shaped him?
Yeah.
You know, I know it goes beyond it when he's in fucking space or whatever it is, but do you know what I mean? That's the point of these films, isn't it?
If he was spending the film taking out the people that killed his mother, or, what you know, I mean, let's take out Friday the 13th Part 1. So if the Jason character was killing people that killed his mother and picked on him, he's essentially a vigilante. He's a Death Wish sort of hero.
Yeah.
But because he just keeps going on and just kills everyone...
Yeah.
He just looks at you and just like, right, I'm just going to put you in a sleeping bag and smash you against a tree.
I haven't seen all the Jason films, but do they still... And I think it's comparable to comics, the horror comics. Do the people still have to do something wrong to get killed? Do they still have to do, in his eyes, you know, do they premarital sex?
No, not really. I think it's
essentially this rocking up at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that more, actually.
Yeah. And also,
I don't like the safe horror where it's just like, oh, well, look, you know he's going to get killed now because he smoked a joint or something. Do you know what I mean? It's like that.
And because the audience wants to see a certain thing, as soon as he turns up, they just want to see people get murdered.
Essentially, they're watching it for kind of like the kills, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when he's got the girl in the bag smashed her against the tree with the...
Yeah. But do people have that same sort of thought process when it, for instance, it comes to a character like the Joker? You know, if the Joker...
Depends who's writing him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it really does depend on who's writing. There's been some really clever... Where it kind of like that, you know, that sort of slightly appalling Mark Miller book Nemesis, you know, where the villain is always 10 steps ahead of the police or the superheroes after them.
That's so unbelievably cynical that I just really got put off.
I don't like that. Yeah. I've read that and it's not pleasurable.
Yeah, it's not a nice read.
It's a real joyless book.
It's a quick read as well. To be fair, it's too quick a read for me. It's just one big chase, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But which I suppose is what you went for, but. To me, the Joker should be that. The Joker, in a well-written comic, he should always be... That's the trick with the Batman, is he's trying to catch up with him, isn't he?
Yeah.
But it's so well sort of planned out. The Riddler's the same.
Yeah. He's already kind of like set a plan in motion and...
Yeah.
He's trying to react to what's happening already.
Yeah. Mm.
What are some of the best examples of villainy that you have seen in... We'll talk about the major comics first, but are there any sort of indie comic sort of standout moments? Spoiler warning, just in case.
Interesting.
Put me on the spot there, that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, the porcelain ones that... There's no real direct one enemy, is there?
No.
It's kind of...
Yeah, characters go... They flip-flop between the light and the dark. People that you're with, you may... not agree with and whatever happens, you're going to get your heart broken. That's
stuff like Whiteout does good villains. Queen and Country, I'm going to say, is another one.
Yeah,
does sort of well-rounded villains, stuff like that.
Do you reckon? I mean, to put this down to a creative, do you reckon that Greg Rucka is one of the better writers of sort of villains?
He's a good writer of thrillers. I think. Another one is Girls. Have you read Girls from the Luna Brothers?
No.
I know of it, but I'm
the villains. The villains of that are just a lot of naked women who try and have sex with you. That's a metaphor for life, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Is it?
As his faintly veiled message to
all men: beware naked women trying to have sex with you. Yeah. I'd lose it if I was a superhero in that universe. Pretty much straight away.
It's like the film Life Force. I love that film.
Yeah,
I love Life Force.
That's great. I watched that the other week. Great.
So good, such a good film. Yeah.
I watched that like last year or a year before that, and I had no idea really. I've read about it a few bit in the horror magazines, and if you go into it cold, you're like, "What the fuck is going on?" It's great.
Yeah. Why is there no comic series around that? That'd make a great comic series.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could do I'd like humanity getting ready for when this fucking thing comes back.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
My go-to kind of villains, I always love it, is film again, unfortunately, but it's RoboCop. Clarence Brodeker and his gang are fucking horrible. I feel like that's good villains, and like if you knew there was in the local area, you'd want no part of that. You'd leave.
And not just that, but you've got the corporate greed that goes above them as well.
It's I thought it was good. Viv Vendetta.
Yeah.
Like the 1984 thing going on with it.
Yeah.
Really like that. Yeah.
And you have all the kind of people in the kind of the cabinet have their own, essentially they're looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
And they only toe the party line so they don't get singled out.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Very well done. Oh. I think when you say like understandable villains, in as much as that, you kind of like, you understand what they're doing, but what they're doing is fucking monstrous.
Yeah.
Maybe like that thing is like, you wish you would, if you were put in that scenario, you'd wish you'd have the decency to kind of do something different, but maybe you'd have the fear that you would just fucking get into line like everyone else.
Yeah.
I tell you who are really bad villains, probably the worst villains ever, are the people who made Aquaman.
Let it go.
We started watching it, but my son got really upset with Black Manta's dad dying, and we had to shut it off. I can't say I've been like gunning to turn it back on with all the reviews, especially yours, Tony.
But to your comics, Dan, Vanguard's very interesting because you have an awful lot of villains in your book. From issue one to where we are now on the webcomic, you've got all kinds of different crazy, colourful villains. Some of them will only turn up just to be absolutely murdered.
Yeah. But like in the last issue, the current issue, like they're just kind of bad guys in a game show that die. So
But still, the way you design them and the way you present them, I honestly think maybe these people are going to last like a few issues, or maybe they're going to, you know. So when and some of them just get taken out, just like that.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
I kind of wanted that in the comic. I've mentioned it before, like when it's kind of death's pretty immediate and quick, and they're gone out of the story now.
Yeah. But with
they have to almost be a shortcut for a villain then, do you think they have to have to apply a little bit of a cliche, you know?
Yeah, like so when you kind of look at them, you kind of get an idea of oh, this character's exactly like this and this is what they're about. So when
it's like when Van Damme turns up in No Retreat, No Surrender, you know exactly what you're getting with him.
Exactly.
Do you
need a lot of screen time to sort of get to establish.
How what do you stop yourself getting too attached to those sort of characters though? Because obviously you've put in a lot of design work into these characters, and like, you know, you see that the guys that are it's the Bulldogs, isn't it? That's what they're called. And you know, you had that great page that just showed you all the characters with their great names and stuff. And I know you go backwards and forwards and you do several designs for different characters before they even hit the page. Have you ever found it when you're designing a character, even though you know they're only going to be in for maybe two pages, you look at them and think, I really like this person, and it threatens to derail the story because you like them more than you thought you would?
Maybe. So I've never come to the thing where I thought, oh, I'll keep this person on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Usually this is pretty hardcore, like it serves the story and the script, and if the story says they're dying, that's what's going to happen.
They're just meat for the grinder.
Usually, like, if they can only be around a little bit and I didn't have to draw them that much, I put more effort into the costume, so it's a bit more intricate.
Oh, so there's a hint to listeners. Yeah. Look out for the ones that are really detailed, because they won't be able to.
Count the pouches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it takes ages to draw. So, fucking hell. Like, most of the characters now, as I've gone through it, I've stripped down costume elements to make them a lot more simpler.
So, and that's a warning to everyone. If Dan Butcher ever gets a gig sort of writing and drawing characters like Cable, Swamp Thing, or anything like that, they're probably going to die horribly. So
they're probably going to end up going around like in a black t-shirt and black trousers. I've got the one character, there's two, like you've got the Pendragon, the main kind of hero, well, one of the main hero guys, and he's a sort of long-time rival, Neil Thade. And they both kind of went through like the army together. And there's an incident, which I haven't really told. I haven't really kind of explored too much, but they were best mates. And then this thing's kind of torn them apart.
Okay.
But I never really got around to it. I always thought, what's the Thade character done to Pendragon to kind of set them against each other? I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to flip it and have it the other way around, that the hero of the story, you look at the good guy, he's the one who's done the transgression and done something wrong. And there's a reason he's fucked off his best mate, that he can't stand the sight of him for years and years.
Okay, but, that's interesting,
It's coming up with that idea of what could that incident be?
Are there any villain cliches that you're tired of? Anything that I'm going to tell you? I'll go first. So the one that I'm beginning to get slightly sick of is everyone being like Trump.
Yeah,
characters are turning up. And you're thinking it's clearly meant to be Trump. Fuck's sake.
I don't really need that. To me, that's regardless of your feelings on Trump, that's just propaganda and it's infantile. I don't need it. Yeah. Drawing Modoc as fucking Trump is.
There's very few of us who probably like Trump, but it's gonna time out the character.
Yeah,
and I'd pick that trade up in 8 years and think, oh yeah. Any other cliches you can think of that are currently, you know, that are, well, not currently, that have been used?
I mean, I think my big one is the villains that they keep trying to sort of turn into heroes or make them not as, you know.
Just I don't because... like when they try and introduce another fucking Joker character, like Joker Light, or is someone else in a face paint who wears wacky costumes and they're just crazy and they kill people. So, oh man.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's been fucking done a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always suspicious of characters that appear to be a bit too, I don't know, Deadpool-ish.
Yeah.
You know, or, yeah, you're right, or Joker, or Harley Quinn especially, you know.
Yeah.
They're riding that wave of money, aren't they, you know?
Yeah. Because, like, you know, it's trying to make someone who's doing nasty things popular, and we don't need more of that.
Yeah.
we really don't.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I also fully admit that I'm coming from a position where I'm talking about my preconceived, you know, what I think of these characters, but I don't read Deadpool regularly. I don't read Harley Quinn. No. I don't read any of this.
No, me neither. Yeah, I mean, I do. I see a lot of Deadpool because my son buys it, or I buy it for him. Mm. So I look at it probably weekly. I'll have a look at it, and it's just too much. I mean, there's too much out there anyway.
Yeah.
But
talking about heroes and villains, we had remember we was talking about that, was it Major X, the Rob Liefeld comic?
Yeah.
We were talking, me and Vince said we're not sure if he'd make all six issues, get them all done in time. He hasn't done issue two,
has he?
No.
Is it somebody else drawing him?
Yeah.
Someone else drawing it. It looks, the interior is like way better.
Yeah.
Didn't even do two. That was the only fun we was getting out of that.
Yeah. I actually said on the show that if they finished the six issues, I'd give them a badge.
Yeah,
does give them an award.
I don't think that counts.
No, don't count it. Right.
The Paul from Orbital put it in my Paul list. Thank you, Paul. You're a fucking comedian.
Nice one. Yeah. Well, part issue two. I think issue one.
No,
is
issue
worth a few quid.
Issue one. Is it?
Yeah.
I'll see that on eBay. Then I got that's what you put in there. I've got issue two. Issue one.
Yeah,
sorry.
Sell that on. That can be a booby price.
But I think. Villains are fun to write, and they are fun to design, and they are, you know, sometimes it's dangerous because they can be more fun to write than your actual hero.
Yeah.
You know, because your hero can be more of a...
If the villain's more interesting than the hero, I think your story's got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the same way that you write a hero, he's, you know his parents are, you know where he lives, you know what his origin was, you know where he's coming from every day, where he's, you know, getting changed in a phone box, whatever he's doing. You need to think about the villain like that as well. He doesn't just sit in the top of a tower and he's a gang lord. That's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
there's a million of them.
Yeah. And it's something certainly, you know, I've learned myself, like with creating this character, where I could do like different episodes as a creature of the week every time, and certainly with my the 4-page shorts that I do, it is a different sort of villain that he's meeting. You know, so it is an interesting challenge to sort of mix it up. And what will I do once the 5 issues are done? What sort of creature will? Because I think my reading habits and my writing habits have developed since then. I'm on the track that I was always going to be on when I started the series, but once the series is finished, will I write things differently? Do you know what I mean? It's interesting. You know, the things that we've read, the things that we've experienced. I'm not going to allow it to change what has already been predetermined with the story I'm writing, because that would be a disservice.
I tell you what's a good trope as well is the who is the villain.
Mm.
So you had it in Dreadstar. You had it in Watchmen.
Yeah.
You had it in a series called Rising Stars.
Yeah.
And you...
Oh God, yeah, which was Watchmen-like, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really like Rising Stars, actually. Yeah. Really, J. Michael Straczynski wrote that. Hmm. But there's a few that have done it really well where you kept guessing as to who the villain is, and it's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of like that, actually.
Sometimes. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that in ages.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I remember that. That was all the rage, wasn't it, at the time?
Dreadstar's a great version of that. If anyone hasn't read Jim Starlin's Dreadstar, go and read it. It's outstanding. And it really keeps you guessing.
I mean, for me, I think sometimes, I think it's more difficult when you have a really long running series. But certainly, if you're creating a new villainous type of character, from issue one, stick to your guns with them just being not nice. And I was quite a big fan of the Darkness when that turned up back in the day. And for the first like 10, 12 issues, he's not a nice guy. He really isn't. And then he gets these powers, and like all this stuff happens. I couldn't tell you what the character's like now, but I'm guessing he's more anti-hero, more heroic, and does nicer things. But
yeah, he's been through various peaks and troughs, I think, around that, hasn't he? When they policeman or something at one point.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've never read it.
But to begin with, he's just a horrible guy. And
he's like a mafia hitman, isn't he?
Yeah. And that was refreshing to read, because it was at the time where there wasn't too much like that. And also Garth Ennis wrote the first few issues.
Which can't go really wrong.
Yeah, can't we? God, we love that man.
Yeah.
One day.
One day.
Game on.
One day.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But I tell you what, though, this would be a great topic for the either the Twitter or the Facebook group. So we'll start a thread on there. Let us know, sort of, especially independent comics, because I know we talk about them every week, but some of you guys are like super fans of series that we've never even heard of, let alone read. So if there's any brilliant examples of villains that we need to check out, or then let us know. I mean, the Awesome Comics Talk group is on Facebook, and we always put a thread for the episodes, so look for the thread for episode 198. I'd like to see the discussion going on there, because I know this is definitely a sort of topic that everyone will have an opinion on, and we'll get a lot of really well thought out and views. Just one short final answer then from all of you.
Right.
What's your favourite villain?
The one that I like to read most, I'm going to say.
Ooh.
Bizarro.
Really?
Oh, nice one.
Yeah. I just kind of like the originality of it. It's just fucking nuts.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a big fan, and I always have been, of Crossbones.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I really like Crossbones.
Nice.
He was sort of like a man on the street villain who kind of like had to deal with all these crazy shit and wacky people in dodgy costumes.
He was always a piece of shit as well. I remember the way Ron Lim drew him. He looked like a fucking fridge. He was that massive. Yeah.
And when Brubaker drew him, he was a fucking hard. Oops, yeah. French. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops.
He's the muscle. He's like the kind of shit done guy.
Yeah. It's always good to have those ones, I think.
Yeah.
For me, I'll always have the Wrecking Crew. I love them. I'm trying to collect all their appearances now. So
there's a master of kung fu villain called Razor Fist who has his
awesome.
Wrist removed. Yeah. Just blades attached.
I know he's amazing. He's a 90s character, isn't he?
It was 70s originally.
Was he really?
I think they came back in the 90s, but weren't they brothers and they each had a blade. But I like the fact that he was so committed to being an assassin that he had both his hands removed.
That's fucking, commitment there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's very brave you brought up Shang-Chi there, Tony.
Yeah. I'm a very brave person, thank you.
Yeah.
You are a very brave person.
It was just taking the mick because they were talking about like making a Shang-Chi film and in the MCU and how that's like
groundbreaking.
Yeah,
you want to look at my YouTube history of all the martial arts movies I've ever watched, then about 3,000 of them done.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
Bruce Lee would love to know how he can be the number one Asian superstar in the entire world making a martial arts film. Yeah.
Staring at his finger.
In the 1970s.
I really love the idea of a Shang-Chi movie though, and like if it was a proper great martial arts movie, the sort of movie where they keep
wire work, old school fucking kung fu, bring it
with just let's have the camera focus on this fight for 30 seconds rather than quick cuts.
Just the martial ability is the top.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you, I can't wait, but I'm slightly frightened it's going to be shit. Also, if they fuck it up, I'm literally going to go and kill people.
It is the one that you've got the most money in the game, though, isn't it? You've got
Yeah,
because it is. So, you know, I have faith. I have faith.
Yeah.
If you can get Scott Adkins as a villain.
Yeah.
That would work for me.
Yeah, no one will remember when he was in Doctor Strange because he was only in there and he got.
Yeah, I like that. When he asked him, what other movies you did? What's your next one? He said, I can't say. I said, is it Doctor Strange 2? And he just went, no.
I can't watch that film now without seeing Scott Adkins.
I know. Yeah.
It was on the other day. I said, like, Scott Adkins.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
And it turned out to be Ip Man 4, didn't it? Which the Ip Man movie series is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Still need to watch those. I still need
first
to watch
those. Like, it's like a cross between a martial arts movie and like a really interesting history movie.
Yeah.
I'm not overly convinced with the style of martial arts they use. It just looks like, you know. But there you go.
Wing Chun.
Yeah. I'm convinced.
There's stories I tried to chat down of like Ip Man's teacher who was like a moneylender. And he fucking used to carry around coins in his hands all day. So his fucking fingers were like bolts of iron.
Oh, right.
It didn't take any shit. I think that Ip Man last had a fight when he was like in his 70s or 80s.
Okay.
A karate bloke. He won. So,
cool.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. There's got to be a comic out there of him somewhere. There's got to be a manga that I need to read. Yeah. Manga fans, let me know if there's an Ip Man comic I can get hold of.
Yeah. Tony loves his martial arts stuff. And do you know where you can tell him to. See, I tell you what, here's a test. Right. There's an upcoming date, and if you're going to be there on that day, right, come approach Tony and recommend a martial arts movie that you think he hasn't watched.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Because trust me, as me and Dan know, he's watched a lot.
I watched Fists of Fury 3 last night, so there you go. So
he's watched.
Didn't realize it got that high.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. I wouldn't recommend it.
Is that Bruce Lee or Bruce Lowe?
It's Bruce Lee, I think, that one. Yeah,
nice. But where you can do this is at the episode 200 recording. Yes, we are all going to be in the same place on the same day trying to record a live show, and God knows how it'll go. Now, on the 4th of May 2019, we are all going to be where, Tony?
The two trades, is it? Was it the two
chairman?
Two chairman. The two chairman. St James's Park. You can get there by St James's Park Tube or Westminster Tube, just off Victoria Street. It's the oldest pub in London. You won't have trouble finding it. We will be there between 12 and 5.
Yep, we will indeed. We're upstairs, aren't we, Tony? I think.
Yeah, the upstairs bar. As you go in, the stairs are to the right. Just head upstairs. Don't buy a drink downstairs, because you buy a drink upstairs, it goes towards the money we've paid for the room.
Nice.
Buy it downstairs.
I think we need to. We really need to make a note of that on social media. Yes. So yeah, come upstairs, hang out with us, talk about comics for a good 5 hours or so.
And, do they do food in there, Tony?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, which also goes to the.
So come have some lunch, talk comics, have a laugh, and then between about 2 and 4 you're going to be listening to us three idiots
live floor show.
And oh god, don't say like that, Dan. It's not gonna be that sexy. Well, no, it'd be sexier. So we're going to do a Three Amigos show. We're going to have some questions that I'm gathering at the moment. I've got a couple more questions in this week.
Well, you're not even telling us these, are you?
No. It's going to be a bit of fun. It's probably going to be a bit chaotic. We'll probably get questions from whoever's there on the day as well. So if you can join us, please do. You know, there's going to be... We've got badges. I made some badges for people that turn up because we're that nerdy. And we really want to see you there because it's just going to be a good laugh and a good day and just a fun way to...
I am genuinely really looking forward to this. Yeah, it's going to be a proper fucking laugh.
So
hopefully there'll be a few beers sunk and a lot of nonsense talked, and we'll have a big pile of comics, and we'll have a big pile of raffle prizes and all that sort of thing, and badges.
Yes, so because there's also going to be a raffle taking place on the same day. It probably won't be recorded as part of the show, but tell us a bit more about this raffle, because it's amazing stuff.
People have been like really generous. I've got to tell you, it's really gone well. So if you go to boysadventurecomics.blogspot.com, boysadventurecomics richardsmith.blogspot.com, which is the page run, or the website run by Richard, our pal Richard Chief, who is, who's gone above and beyond. I've got to tell you,
yeah,
Richard's
yeah.
really, really gone above and beyond with this. And I think when he offered to organise it, we said, "Oh, brilliant!" You know, and then we thought, "Oh, we'll help out with that." And then it just literally took off. So if you go to that, the top of the page, if you're on a tablet or on a desktop, you can buy tickets at the top. There's a drop down menu for how many you want. You can buy one ticket for £1, you can buy 5 tickets for £5, and I think, or 10 tickets for £10, whatever you want to do. Or you can just donate. All the money goes to the Little Heroes charity, who supply activity kits for kids in hospitals. If anyone listens to this pod, they know that, that we're pals of them. There's some amazing stuff. So you've got you've got original art by Nikki from Nicole from the Lakes podcast. Yes, yeah. We recently talked about a couple of her comics, Anxiety Me being a big favourite of mine. Mm-hmm. You got Adam Fout has supplied something. You got pages from Alex Automatic. You've got Cliff Cumber has supplied some amazing stuff that literally we're going to have to fight people for.
Yeah.
At this point, we've already discussed that we may have to have a fist fight with someone.
Yeah.
There's Mr. Slight Home has provided some Gareth has provided some absolutely brilliant pages. It's so generous of him. There's like 10 pages there with some comics as well. There's a page from Cockney Kung Fu, which I quite like myself, from Mr. Prolix, the big old Kent Road kickoff, the hole in the head page. There's pages from Shitflingers. There's Charles Raymond. He's done a really good picture from Diagnosis Murder. He supplied that. Loads of comics,
so,
games, comics, trades.
Tip of the iceberg. But there's just so much stuff.
I mean, you've never seen a raffle like it. Normally, sometimes when you go to a convention, you see a bit of a raffle and you have like a bit of a tombola table. But seriously, every single thing that you can get in this raffle is amazing. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Ken Reynolds,
yeah.
Mandy the Monster Hunter, we've got the If Anthology, the Hellboy trades, Tank Girl trades. It's just fucking, the list literally goes on and on.
We've
kind of been a bit overwhelmed with how much has come in.
Spoke to Nobrow this week. They've donated a few books, so there'll be some lovely hardbacks from them as well. There'll be raffle prizes.
Even if you can't be there on the day, you can still buy raffle tickets for the event. For you might have to sort out a bit of postage and packaging.
Yeah,
for that.
I'll send them out to you.
Yeah.
Please do, because as soon as I get back home, I'll be posting them back out to you. So please do buy tickets. If you go, so we'll give it again. It's boysadventurecomics.blogspot.com. And there's a PayPal address. You just pay it into the PayPal address. Yeah. It's all explanatory on there.
And we, of course, you will be notified straight away. If you
I think we'll probably put it out on the Facebook in the mentions of that one.
So even if you can't make it on the day, donate to a good cause, and you could get some. You could get some amazing stuff.
Sweet swag.
So
I mean, I bought 10 tickets, and I'm considering buying more because
I'd love to get one of those commissions.
Oh god,
Cliff's offered up a commission. A couple other people have as well.
That'd
be amazing.
And we cannot
for
say enough.
A quid, or a tenner for the ticket.
We cannot say enough about the generosity of the people who have offered stuff to this and the community out there. I mean, never mind this show, but just the community out there. You know, that's why we love indie comics, because these people do stuff like this, so it's amazing. So yeah, definitely get your raffle tickets. Join us on May the 4th. Probably, Emmy, if you want to get your free comics from Free Comic Book Day, if you want to do that, go do that, and then come join us afterwards for
that's what I'm going to do.
Sausage and chips and a good laugh.
That's
what it'll be. So we hope to see you there. And if you can't be there, for instance, if you're quite far away, our good friend Alan Henderson, the Penguin, is going to be launching a new book and running a mini exhibition of some of the original art from the 3rd to the 5th of May. He told us, hence why he'll not be at Show 200.
We understand. Plus, he lives 400 miles away.
Yeah, plus, and we'll always love him anyway. The show is going to be at the White Space Gallery, which is not too far from Deadhead Comics, for those in the know.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, as he says, if there's anyone north of the wall who can't make number 200 but wants a thing to do on Free Comic Book Day, then go come see the Penguin Puns from the Penguin. Yeah. And we love Alan's work, so definitely check that out.
Yeah. And if you you can't get to it and you happen to be at Portsmouth Comic Con, if you take second choice, go and see Martin Simmons at his table.
Yes.
He's got some great sketches and comics for sale.
Yeah, I want to hear more about Portsmouth Comic Con, actually. As well, because that's one that I hope,
Hopefully. One of the guests they've got is a car, so Martin will be better than that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Martin's the flashiest sports coupe you could ever need in your life, yeah, isn't he, really?
Fuck Bumblebee.
No, I'm not doing that.
Well done, then. Speaking of people from Scotland, a little shout out to Tom Stewart, because I had dinner with Tom earlier this week from That Comic Smell, and he also does an indie comics small press corner on the Lakes podcast now, which is very listenable. He does a Sleep in the Back this week, actually. It's really, really good little talk on it. And we had a cracking two podcasters chewing the fat over dinner. It's good. Good to see him. Yeah, yes. And I think he's coming to the 200th. That's
nice,
going to be good.
Yeah.
That'd be great, yeah. Bus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we seriously can't wait to see anyone there on the day. It's going to be a proper laugh. And also in May the 18th, 2019, is Lawless, a celebration of British comics. And a tribute to Carlos Esquerra. I have said that right, haven't I? The tickets are sold out, apparently. There's no tickets or anything. But to any of our listeners that are going, we're going to have a little table there. I'm going to be repping the pod. And, like, you know, so if you haven't got Awesome Comics yet, or if you just want to come by and talk comics with us, please do. It's probably good. I mean, me and Tony checked out the last sort of convention that these guys did.
We had fun last year, didn't we?
Proper passionate crowd as well. Yeah. So, yeah, looking forward to that. So that's May the 18th, 2019.
May the 17th and 18th, if you can't make Lawless and you happen to be in California and at the NCS Festival, Huntington Beach, I'll be repping the pod and No Brow at that festival, so come and see me.
Yes. Yes.
Me and Nick Brokenshire going out to the... Yeah, showing him how it's done it.
Yes. Nice. Smashing it large.
Yeah. Another shout out to Dan Ford and Sarah Dunkerton. Congratulations on getting engaged.
Ooh, yay! Nice one.
Not only did they get engaged, they climbed a mountain to do it, which I was pretty impressed with.
And which is the least important thing of all, they gave us a shout out saying
I think they listened to it en route.
Yeah.
In the car on the way there.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, we love you guys. I'm hopefully going to see them at a show. Point soon.
Yeah. Yeah, she showed them the lows and then went up to the highs.
So they played the podcast and she said he said you could end up with somebody like that, but instead, she lucked out.
Yeah, she did indeed.
Another Dan doing good.
Yeah,
that's what we like to hear.
And
another one from me. Saffron is still on Kickstarter, so we're at 75% as of today. It's a great all ages comic book from Sam London and Rosie Alexander. I was announced this week as being the editor on it, which I'm having real fun back and forth with the guys talking about the story and the art and everything. A real sort of creative process, which I'm really enjoying. So it's at 75%. It's got about a week and a half to go. So go and pledge to that, because it's a really good comic I think you're going to enjoy. And there's only a couple more days on Slang Pictorial from our pal, Mr. Prolix. So get on board that. He's added some stickers, I think, as of today, as I saw it. Is that right? So you can get some extra stickers, and he's also got a short story, an in canon short story, which is sort of illustrated story in an old school sort of pulpy kind of style, which is really good. Get on that as well.
Nice. Yes. And one final one: if any of you out there are going to be at MCM London, we'll talk a bit more leading up to the show, of course, because we're all going to be there in some way, shape, or form. So drop by us. The Awesome Comics table will be table CV69. Yeah, I was waiting for that. I don't know whether they planned it or whether they listened to the show. If you do, thank you for listening.
Yeah,
but also I've opened up a little commission list.
Yes.
So A4 sort of like little commissions. Any character, £15 per character. Get in touch, DM me on Twitter or whatever, and you can, if you're going to be at the show, you can pick it up from the convention table. Simple as that. Dan's going to be drawing on the day as well.
I've got to sort out what I'm going to do for that.
Yeah, but I've
had two commissions off of you.
Hey,
I've had two commissions off of you. I've had you drew the White Witch and he drew Peng Dragon in his kind of homemade armor.
Yeah, well, that's because I love you, Dan.
Yeah, and you did me a Captain. You've done me a Red, and you did me a Captain Britain as well.
Yeah.
You make me sound really good.
And they're fantastic.
They are good. Well, yeah, you want to get on that?
Thank you. Once again, I can't take these sort of compliments. But seriously, if you're going to be at this show, this is our first time. It's my first time ever going to an MCM. I love doing stuff like this. So
you're doing pre-order only.
I'm doing pre-order sort of sketches to pick up on the show. Yeah.
The thing is about you, V, and it's not a criticism, you like chatting to people. So I think pre-order's better for you, because Otherwise, you end up getting, like, unfortunately at BAM, you got caught talking to someone for about an hour and a half, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's cutting into your drawing time, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't multitask as well. I've got to totally interact with someone. I can't draw and talk at the same time because I'll just put me off and I'll muck something up. So yeah. But anyway, enough of the shout outs. What a load of shout outs this week. Amazing stuff. That's an exciting summer of comics. That's what it is, though, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So let's recommend a few little comics for our lovely listeners this week before we ride off into the sunset. Who wants
to go first?
Go down.
I got two, actually. One's a short one.
Okay. Do you want to do your one first, Tony? Short one.
Shall I do my short one first? So yeah. my short one is War of the Realms, The Punisher. I kind of was feeling bad that I didn't know what the new Marvel event was. This is what a weirdo I am. So I bought the War of the Realms this week, and I noticed there was a Punisher issue. So they put all Punisher comics aside for me. Fortunate Orbitalkers are good eggs. And I've got to tell you, the actual main series, I'd live without it if I had to. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like that. But this War of the Realms, the Punisher issue, is actually really good. So Manhattan, for those who haven't read it, the eight worlds, I think, sorry, it's the nine, sorry, the 10 realms, not, nine of them have been taken over by Malekith and all his sort of gang. Thor is stranded in Jotunheim, and a bunch of superheroes defending Manhattan from the Malekith sort of forces, which include frost giants and giant dogs and, you know, Surtur-style sort of fire creatures and all this sort of thing. And a lot of the street-level characters are caught up in the middle of this, and the Punisher is one of them. So the Punisher, it's got a really good opening. It's written by Jerry Duggan, drawn by Marcello Fiera, inked by Roberto Poggi, coloured by Rachel Rosenberg, lettered by the VC's Corey Pettit. Edited by Jake Thomas. It sets up really well. So it just sets up with there's a music store, like a guitar, piano, sort of, you know, traditional sort of musical instrument store. Punisher kicks the door in, walks in, and says, "I'd like some piano wire." And the person in the shop goes, "What kind of piano have you got?" And he just looks at them, and they give him a big reel of piano wire. And then he goes outside, ties it between two lampposts, and takes out a load of elves, dark elves, and their massive dogs that they ride on it. And it's just violent from page two. He buys the wire, and page two, it's just like non-stop.
Amazing.
Machine gunning, demons, all this sort of thing. Just exactly what you want to see from a street-level person like him. He just goes for it. At one point, he says, "I'm sick of the Avengers and all their crap." And I thought, this is just ideal. This is just, I really like this. And he at one point, there's he saves various people. He takes out a frost giant, saves various people, and he ends up saving a bus that he then realizes is full of prisoners being transported between prisons, but happens to have been caught up in the traffic jam on the island. And that he steps onto this bus and they all shit their pants because this is the Punisher. It's like a sweet shot for him, isn't it? Somebody's on a bus full of prisons. And he says, "Right," he says, "you lot are going to help me. We're going to get these people safe. You're all bastards, you know, violent bastards. You lot are going to help me or I'm going to kill you." And one of them stands up and said, "Why should I help you?" And he shoots him in the head. It gives him a load of sort of knives and swords and axes and stuff and says, "Right, we're going to go through the tunnel. We're going to head towards Jersey and you're going to take all these people. We're going to take all these people with us and you lot are going to step up or I'm going to murder you and I might well murder you afterwards." And it's just this really good setup for a comic, which amongst a load of sort of a mess of a story that seems to be across about fucking 20 titles as per usual. It's just this really great sort of Punisher story right in the middle of it, which I kind of really dug. The art's pretty good. It's pretty serviceable. Jerry Duggan writes fun dialogue. I like Jerry Duggan's dialogue style. And it's really good. He writes Punisher as a Punisher should be written. So nice. If you're going to buy a War of the Realms comic, buy the Punisher one. Really good.
That's my first
one. Yeah.
Nice. That sounds great.
Nice. What have you got, Dan?
I was going to be reviewing it last week, but it's Pure Dead Mental. Nice. About the Kickstarter. And it's written by James McCulloch. It's got three, four stories in it. It's like an anthology, but all the titles are written by James. You've got art by Adam Jakes, art by Jonathan Scott, and Norrie Miller. Oh, God, there's so many people involved in this, so I might have to list them all. But these are really bleak stories. Really bleak. I mean, there's like child murder, lots of gory deaths. It's a very challenging read, but really enjoyable.
If you're going to do horror, go for it, and that's what he does, isn't it? I think
exactly. You kind of you want people to kind of put the foot down and tell a good horror story, and this is exactly what James delivers in this one. It's really good. There's a couple that really stand out stories. One kind of I don't want to give all of these have kind of like got a sting in the tail, so talking about too much kind of takes away from that. But there's a fantastic one of a serial killer on a bus, and he's sort of got this internal monologue trying to push him to do something, and he's arguing with it, and it's a nice little twist on the thing and the way it plays out. It's done really well. I really enjoyed it, and that's nice. Actually published by Comic House. I'm not sure if you can get that on the app, but
Yeah, I've got a copy of it anyway. I haven't read yet, but yeah.
We'll stick that on the show notes where you can purchase a copy of that from. But, I've really enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, my one this week, I've got one main one and then a little sort of shout out kind of one. One I read digitally from Comixology, which is Morris and the Metal, number one. Now Morris and the Metal is 100% independent comic, which is quite unusual to see in the synopsis. I thought, well, really, is it really? But it follows
not really
the
big business anymore, are we? Let's face it.
But the thing that caught me is it follows the journey of a young metalhead in the mid-80s who unwittingly discovers he has impossible strength whenever he listens to metal.
Yeah,
fucking yes. So he's charged with a heavy burden, and with nothing but his Walkman, which has been possessed by the spirit of a Black Sabbath roadie, Morris is fighting to keep metal alive. This one was it's $2.49 for an issue. It's a decent size sort of issue one. It's decent value for money. It's more on the upper end of what I pay for an individual issue.
Yeah.
But this is written by Aaron Samut and art by Jesse Hamm. Now, Jesse Hamm, I've seen that name quite a lot.
Where have I seen Jesse Hamm before? He's done the mainstream stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done some Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Boom and Dynamite, I think.
Yeah.
So he's worked on a lot of stuff. I always recognise him on Twitter because his sort of avatar is one of the characters from Cheers. You know, the beginning credits of Cheers.
Oh, right. I think I might follow him as
guy
well.
Guy with a bowler hat. Smiling, yeah,
right.
That's him. I had heard of the name, never really discovered his work before. This is a great book, though, a great issue one as well, especially for metalheads out there. It's got a real fun, energetic sort of sense of character as well. It is a sort of smaller story. A lot of it brought to mind, you know, Blood Blokes. You know the sort of style
that
is? It's a black and white kind of book, and it definitely had that sort of feel to the artwork. And this is, I've never seen Jesse's work before, but the artwork very much felt like that kind of stuff. And the main character, obviously Morris, he's got a sister he doesn't get on with who listens to terrible pop music. You know, his mum's just trying to put up with him. He's just sort of that lonely kid listening to heavy metal. And he's inherited this old Walkman, which you see how the ghost, it's possessed by a ghost. It doesn't really talk, it hasn't been revealed as such, but you already know what's going to happen because you see the roadie from Black Sabbath die/disappear right at the very beginning of the issue. So no spoilers there. And he has this Walkman and he drops it in some water and something happens. And basically, whenever he's listening to this Walkman, he does literally have superhuman strength that he doesn't know about. It's sort of revealed in the last five pages, but leading up to that, you see what his life is like normally, how people pick on him, and it's just really nice, really cool. And I think the sort of writer himself comes from more sort of music background as well. Right. He sort of worked in the music industry in Australia, sort of. Yeah, sort of in magazine design and sort of photographer and stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely a music comic, music-themed comic that actually feels like it's people that know what they're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's just quite fun as well. So definitely check it out if you can. And the only other quick one I want to say was Ian Matthews, when we were at Cardiff recently, he gave me a lovely art book by Del Core, which is of the series Occo. Have you heard of Occo?
Oh, yeah, I saw this. Yeah, this is lovely.
And this art book is all in French. I mean, Ian literally picked it up. He let me borrow it and just sort of say, I think you need to see this because I know you like a lot of European comics and stuff.
Yeah.
And this, the series itself is available digitally and stuff. It looks amazing because I think to get the trades is really expensive now. Of the actual series. But looking at this art book, even though it's in French, I can't read French, but you don't need to because this art book is absolutely stunning in the way it's the way it sort of presents everything from showing panels to one-off pinups to everything. And it's a thick, oversized, sort of squarish hardcover book. I'm not sure if it's available in print, but I'm becoming an even more a lover of sort of like comic book art books as well. That makes sense. What with this and Ian Kennedy's book
and the Spanish one we got recently. The
So I'm in hog heaven when it comes to art books at the moment. So yeah, but definitely from this series, Occo. You're like we've talked about, for instance, She, and obviously I like Isabella from Europe Comics and stuff.
Yeah,
and if you like that kind of stuff, definitely look into what this series is because I think if you like those series, this will definitely be for you.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. There you go. Okay, Tony, take us home.
Yeah, so I got one. Last one is an indie comic. So I got this on Comixology. It's called Defrost. Now, if you're going to buy this, be aware that it's also part of a collection called This Wasn't the Plan, which I ended up, I like this so much by this creator. I went and bought the this collection called This Wasn't the Plan. Then I realized, oh, Defrost is in that as well. So if it might be that you want to get the whole collection. It's created by a guy called Nick Mullins, published by Nijimu Studios. Now, Nijimu would appear to be Nick Mullins's sort of comic publishing thing, a bit like Millicent Barnes is for Stu McCune and this sort of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's £1.49, 40 pages, 17 plus age group. So it's about Lucia. She's just graduated from art school and she's done art history and fine art. And she moves into a flat and apartment, sort of stroke an apartment in a big city. But her friend messes her about and she's stuck in this apartment on her own. And she's sort of extremely lonely and spends a lot of time trying to find jobs and draw. She's big into drawing werewolves. And her hopes and dreams of being a big-time illustrator are beginning to fade away as the story goes on. But her fridge needs defrosting. Now, it makes it sound it's a bit like a sort of... I'll tell you who this guy reminded me of. He reminded me a little bit of a cross between maybe a sort of Daniel Clowes kind of creator and John Tucker. It's got this sort of strange big idea thing going on. Not big, but quirky idea, I suppose. Is the idea, yeah. You know? Saying that it's all about her needing her fridge to be defrosted, does it like a sort of like a real sort of disservice. But it sort of sits there in the corner of the room while she's trying to work, and it sort of ticks and fizzes and stops her sleeping, and it's sort of slightly haunting. But what it does, it also has, she has little flights of fantasy where she becomes a werewolf and stuff like this. The art's got, it's really readable. It's got a sort of rough crumb-esque edge to it, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that on the sort of the texturing and stuff of.
Yeah, things. It's got, it occasionally crosses over into maybe a little bit of Gilbert Hernandez, something a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But occasionally she uses a full landscape page, a bit like maybe someone like, Tim Bird would do. So you just get a pull out and you get like the moon above the hill or something, you know, a real sort of like clever way she does it. I don't know if you can see from the preview there, Vince, but there's he does, he's a female character but he's a male creator, he's got strange word balloon techniques, where there's a sort of trail of the word balloon as opposed to a straight sort of angular arrow. It sort of skips around the room a little bit before it ends up in the
It's a little bit snake-like, isn't it?
Sort of. It is, yeah. It's really interesting. I didn't find it off-putting. I actually quite liked it. It's quiet, and there's a whole pages of it that are just sort of her sort of moving around, and she's got this sort of really creepy sort of neighbour who he sort of stands and talks to her, but at the same time he's maybe eating a sausage or something, you know. And do you know what I was really impressed with is the way she uses dialogues. A lot of a lot of the female characters only talks to people through the phone. And when you talk to somebody on the phone, there's a strange staccato listening talking thing, isn't there?
Yeah.
And he does that really well. It doesn't fall into the trap that we see a lot these days of that sort of quippy, clever, upspeak kind of thing. It's very genuine, which I really liked. You know, doesn't show in throwing OMGs and all this sort of thing. She's a very real character. She's sort of slightly unsure in her own skin and is awkward in her engagements with strangers and stuff like that. But it does, every so often it throws in these sort of strange flights of fantasy, which are really good. Really liked it. One of the reasons I sort of compare him to John Tucker is he does other subjects really, he does strange subjects very well. They're always different. He's, you know, he's not a guy who just does action movies. He's not a guy who just does, you know, rom-coms. He's not a guy who just does, you know, they're all different. And there's one of, so I was reading some of his other stories. One of them is called Art is a Lonely Business, and it's about two naked men standing in a featureless landscape, and one of them walks over and does a poop on a flower that then grows. That's one of them. There's one, the clever one called Windows, where an artist finds a website from the future which has all of his art that he'll create in the future. That's quite clever. And there's one called Lounger, where a man lays on a lounger drinking wine and just watches things going on, and you realise he's watching a sort of zombie apocalypse happening in front of him, but he just doesn't really give a fuck. And he also does some sort of abstract comics as well, which are quite beautiful to look at. So if you go to Nijumu, which is nijomu.com, or at Nijumu on Twitter, you'll find his stuff. Really interesting. I think I'd seen him about before, Nick Mullins, but I'd actually downloaded this about 3 or 4 months ago and not got around to reading it. I thought, I'll read that. And it's really good. Really liked it. Really sort of strange. Maybe I could see someone like maybe Fantagraphics or Drawn and Quarterly publishing him. He's got that sort of edge to his style. Very, like you say, Vince, very sort of textured page.
Yeah.
It's a real sort of interesting quality. But unlike a lot of underground comics, it's not completely underground, but it's still very readable. You know?
Yeah.
It's got a readability to it. Yeah,
nice. Good stuff. Well, that's a new voice to look out for.
Nice.
Yes.
And we always like them cool on this show. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. This sort of thrown together at last moment. Let's just have a cup of Horlicks and talk about some comics.
Yeah. it's been a while since it's just been the three of us, anyway.
Yeah, we've had a long run of guests. And we've got one more coming before episode 200. Yeah. So look forward to that. But let us know what you thought of this show, whether we said anything that you completely disagree with.
You would have done.
Yeah, people are going to disagree with us. But if you're going to say something nasty, don't bother getting in touch because we won't listen to you. But if you want to say something nice or want to send us your comic that's going to be launched fairly soon, because we're always open for more stuff
some
like that.
People who are getting ready for MCM, I'll tell you. Yeah,
and there's some great stuff coming out this year from the looks of it. So email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. That's also the email you can use to send us any questions you want for the guys for episode 200 that I'll be reading out.
We'll be doing a recommended on the live pod, won't we? We'll probably want to recommend something. If you've got anything, send us.
We'll just list off a load of stuff. But follow us on Twitter at the Awesome Pod, where we'll be posting up probably a poll or whatever. We didn't talk about it this week, but Dan, I believe you posted a very good poll this week. So we'll talk about it more.
That'll cheer Tom up. Tom's texting me, actually, funny enough. That'll cheer him up. Yeah. He loves a poll, Tom, doesn't he? Oh. Tom Curry.
Tom Curry does it, and we love him. We'll do a poll. Yeah. We'll probably do a poll all about him.
Let's do one just about Tom. Good, I like that.
Just pollception or Tomception. Whatever it is. Let's make it a thing. Anyway, and also, if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And like we said, there's a lot of chat, a lot of fantastic comic book discussion, collaboration, and more happening at the Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk. And if you don't do Facebook, neither do we. We only go onto Facebook to actually check out this group. So you won't be alone. It's just a lot of cool people talking about comics on there, and we love it. Thank you for listening to us this week, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. Check out the page, check out the show notes, etc. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. It helps get the word out about the show, and therefore more people discover indie books like yours, whoever you are. And whether you listen to us on Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what are the networks we on, Tony?
Pod Pickled Egg.
Whatever network you listen to us on, we truly appreciate every single one of you, and the numbers are going up as well, so welcome to the Thunderdome. It's only going to get crazier from here. Where can people find us?
He's gone Partridge. Yeah. He's gone full Partridge.
Well, it's the end of the Easter weekend. I've had two bottles of San Miguel.
Have you?
Yeah. And considering I have not drunk in about 4 months, this is...
We're going to fix that at MCM, my friend.
Oh, God. Baby Sham? Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk. Put a load up this week.
Or
if you go to...
and on your blog.
EZOHYZ on Twitter.
Nice.
Follow me or do not follow me.
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
You're missing out. Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Brilliant. Stay tuned to that and his wonderful Patreon videos.
Yeah, a bit behind on that. I've got to make another one this week.
Well, you've got them sometimes when they're not up.
Yeah, but you've got enough going on, Dan. You are superhuman.
Got a bit going on at the moment.
Yeah, a lot going on. So just leave him alone, guys. Just leave him alone. Anyway, you can find me online, etc., Instagram or Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmouseformmars.com. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next week for more fun. But until then, Dan, from Dan, Tony, and myself, have a brilliant week. Read loads of... Oh, he's eager. I can feel that this is going to be good. Read loads of great comics. And as always...
Sell some.
Do you know what? I really want to cultivate a rivalry between you two about that.
Tony's beat me to it.
He has.
Stay awesome.
Yeah. See you later, guys.
See ya.
'Dildo the other day, and I went to the shop, sex shop, and they didn't have one big enough. I said, "What's that one with the white top on over there?" And she went, "That's my flask."
That's going in the outtakes.
Yeah.